All right, fine, Tom. He smiles at me. He goes, by the way, you're one down. And I smash this three wood with a baby draw exactly at the spot that he tells me to, and it rolls 3 feet below the hole. And I make the eagle putt in the heart. And I say, all square. And welcome back. Welcome aboard another Par Train. I'm one of your co-hosts, Evan Singer. We got Matt Cermak with me.
What's up, Ev? It's great to be back. I got to say, this was kind of a code red. We got to do a pod. Something's going on. Some good stuff for brewing. Some real results. It's great to see you.
I'm pumped about this. I think this is going to get deep. We're going to dig into everything. We're going to get to this in a second. But first, in case you guys are new, welcome aboard. We help frustrated golfers enjoy the ride again, because if you can learn to smile through bad golf, you can smile through anything. We unpack the mental game with anyone from a PGA Tour pro to a golfer like you and me. We're doing that with me today.
It's true.
Hopefully get some really good insights and nuggets for you guys for your game. Because if I can achieve this success from the rock bottom that I was in, you sure as hell can with wherever you're at. So before we get to this episode, we have to thank our friends at Roback. We both just got new stuff. I just got a new hoodie, and you just got the new Q-Zip. I love the new colors they're coming out. They actually just came out with a new hoodie. Did you see this? It's like a t-shirt hoodie.
I did. I didn't know what to think. I was thinking of you, though. It looks great,
yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah, well, I'm going to try one. I haven't tried it yet. I'm going to try one. But that is kind of that in Southern California is kind of all the rage, because it's a hoodie, but you're kind of wearing a shirt, so it's really thin and light. You can basically do anything in it. But I think that's one of the beauties of Roback, and why we love, for many reasons, why we love partnering with them, is it's never enough. They're kind of like the golfer.
Yeah.
They take the golfer mentality in the activewear category, right? They're always reinventing. They're always trying to fix it. They're always bettering themselves. They're always thinking differently. And they're coming out with new stuff, new styles all the time. So Roback.com, enter the code TRAIN, get 15% off. I love the hoodies the most. Serm loves the Q-Zips and the vests.
The Q-Zips.
The polos are deadly.
What I'll say, guys, is let's be honest. If you're trying to match your outfit, whether it's your jeans, your khakis, every day, it's usually navy or gray, right? And what they're doing, Ev, like you said, they're creating all these different sub-patterns and these different shades of gray. 50 shades of gray, we're having fun.
Heard of it?
And all these different navies. And it's because that's what at least I always come back to. Is gray and navy to put an outfit together.
Yeah.
And neutrals. They got all right. I was just trying to jazz it up a little bit. So Guys, go get some Q-Zips, get a couple gray, get a couple navy, maybe a little indigo, maybe a little navy, a little ocean blue. They're great. Love the Q-Zips.
Wow. Roback.com, enter the code TRAIN, get 15% off. If it doesn't work, it means you used it before. So use a new email, or if you forget the code, go to our Instagram at the Par Train, tap that link in bio. You click the Roback link, it'll auto apply in your cart. No need to remember a code. Thanks to the Roback team, as always, for supporting us. And thank you guys for supporting Roback, because that actually helps us out a lot. Shows that the passengers care and hop aboard the Roback train, but also helps you out by looking good, feeling good, and getting the best gear in the game. So do you want to start with context on this? Because I love giving the passengers a little insight into our texts back and forth and what's going on outside of the show.
Yeah, I know. I think it's great. I mean, I think you said this kind of like the old days. Like you just, I knew you were playing at a couple great private clubs back
to back. It's been a while since I've called you on the way home from a round, by the way.
Your second round, what was the name of the course, Evan?
Lakeside.
Lakeside.
It's up in Burbank. Literally, you can see Universal Studios, Hogwarts above me. Heard of it?
LA private club.
Justin Timberlake belongs there. Many
would know it.
Celebrities do.
I knew you were playing there. And I mean, you had sent a text and then you called right after, and I missed the call and we played phone tag, but it's like, when you're calling, something good will happen. Something good happened out there.
Yeah.
You know, whether it was score.
I don't usually call after the wheels fall off. That's something we unpack later.
So for me, pumped for you, Ev, shot a great score. The round you've been, looking for. Right. Especially putting all this work in that you're doing with your coach.
I shot an 80. I don't know
Josh,
if you said that. I
shot an 80 at Lakeside.
37 on the back. Almost shot even par on the back.
So like, we got to chip away at this thing. Like,
yeah,
let's kind of talk about these last 10, 12
days. I'm actually wearing
days.
The Lakeside hat right here that I got.
I mean, is that sharp? So that's the Genesis guy. I'm like, Ev, I want to hear about, I'm interested in your last 10, 12 days, practice, playing, and how he shot 80. Because yeah. It's a great round, and I'm proud of you.
I appreciate it. Before we get to that round, do you want to talk about the par three or the nine-hole round I had leading into the private club week? And maybe before we do that, I give a little added context where historically, guys, you know, we talk about the importance of reflection here, right? Historically, I've struggled in the past playing with someone in the industry, so someone I work with or someone in golf, and at a private club. Historically,
we should actually find those pretexts you were talking about with me.
Oh yeah. So I had
on this
some,
topic,
because you guys know how it is. You get lessons. You don't know where your body is. It feels like you're golfing for the first time. Going out and playing is one thing. Like, I didn't even like the idea of going out to play. That's something we can talk about. If I'm seeing 40 yard rights with a 9 iron and a hook 100 yards left and a shank there, and it's like, I'm not ready. I didn't feel ready to go out on the course. However, in this scenario, I didn't have a choice. And I'm not complaining about being invited to two amazing private clubs in LA. A guy that I work with on the Dream Golf side of my consulting stuff, he was coming in to visit me in LA. He's well connected in golf, got two tee times with two of his friends. And I'm not going to say no. I thought this was an opportunity for me to test myself and put myself to the test and also reframe my mindset in a way that this doesn't define me. Let's use it as a learning opportunity and let's focus on what I can do well. And so going in, shooting an 80 right now with where I've been is a great feeling. Shooting 80 with someone that I work with and we were playing for the first time, that's another layer, at a private club, super private club, I'm even more proud of, because that shows the mental progress that I've made as well. Historically, something used to really get in my way. I focused on more productive things and I haven't played that well through nine holes in a very long time. That was the first time I've been in the quote zone for a while. And we're going to get to how I got there and why I got there, but maybe let's start at the nine holes the week before my two rounds at the private club.
Yeah. I think even a couple of days before that, I know you were a little down, confused after that first 18 hole round. You went out some really poor range sessions post lessons. And I talked about, you got to play more. Just whether it five
I'm
holes.
Getting texts from Missouri State teammates of Cermak. Hey man,
nine holes.
Keep going, but you got to get some rounds in. You got to get some reps.
Yeah. Like if you're going to hit balls 20 minutes, then go play the par three. I think that I said just something. Because the only way you're going to get better. And sure enough, you know, Dale's a friend of the show, alumni, Daly Young, said to you, like, you just keep playing. He's taught a lot of golf in his life, right? Just keep playing. And sure enough, he did. Ev takes it to heart, says, I'm playing nine holes. And you're texting me as you're, I think, waiting to tee off.
Yeah. You know, I sent Cermak a swing video off the first tee box.
Not sure if that's good as we're trying to play or is it? But, and the great part about this video was, it's like, Ev, yeah, okay, that takeaway, because I'm working on a similar thing. That looks good. You sent me some videos, but I'm like, I don't know, you're not doing it. And like, I saw a real change that moves. I was like, huh.
Yeah.
And I think you felt it. So nine holes, par three course, you texted me a couple holes in, you're like, man, I'm hitting it differently and I'm scoring. So dig into that.
Yeah. So, but actually, sorry guys, we're jumping around a little bit. There's so much to talk about. We're a little excited. I probably should say what Cermak referenced before I went to Westchester, which is the executive course that I live close to. It's an 18 hole course, a lot of par threes, some par fours and one par five. Okay. It's a war zone out there. They have put 18 holes tight together and there's balls flying everywhere.
No, the places.
5 hour rounds at an executive, like it's a great place to scrape it around. Right. So before I went there, I played the week before at my father-in-law's club up in the Bay Area with Tara, and we got matched up with an 81-year-old and I was in his cart. this guy was more accurate with his driver than I was with my nine iron. I was blocking nine irons and he was sticking it to 12 feet with his driver. Anyways, it was a little frustrating, but again, my mindset was, I just need reps. Let me learn about what I'm doing in the good ones and what I'm not doing in the bad ones, or what I'm doing differently in the bad ones. Right. So that's what I took to heart. I got a little bit too technical and focused on feels versus what am I doing in my rhythm and my process. So that was kind of the learning that I went back to. Now, before the 9-hole round at Westchester, the executive course, remember I was kind of focused on bringing it a little bit more outside than I was trying to, and keeping it a little bit more vertical and shorter, just to give me a better chance in the club, more in front of me. I'm not going to get into too much technical stuff, but when I'm off the first tee box waiting for the green to clear, I don't know where this came from, but I was like, huh, if I start the swing with my left shoulder going down and then feel like my left arm straightens where the width is in my left arm, the club gets vertical right away. I'd never felt that before. I'm like, huh, I wouldn't normally advise having a new swing feel. I literally sprint to the driving range because the guys were just teed off. I sprint to the driving range. I found two extra balls in a open bay. I smoke 2 4 irons with that feel. And there is this group of like four, like 65-year-old guys that see me doing this. They go, oh, that's all you needed, huh? I go, yeah, that's all I need. And then I ran back to
the course.
I ran back to the first tee. So here I am trying a brand new, I'm building on what I'm working on. But
yeah, it's part of what you're working on.
It's what I'm working on. I'm not reinventing it, but it was kind of a light bulb moment of like, oh, I can still use rhythm, but this gets the club more vertical and on plane better. So fast forward to my 9 holes. I get matched up with 3 high school kids that have a cooler on their back full of 805 glass bottles of beer. I go, what's in the backpack? They go, just Mexican Cokes. I go, you know, I'm not the police, right? Like, you can tell me that you're drinking. It's cool, man. Anyways, it was an amazing day.
Great vibes.
Because
perfect for you, because you're just there to just.
And by the way, these kids could barely hit the ball.
Right. You're there to work on your game. They're there to just have a good time. But that also helped you have a good time too, I bet.
It did. It made it light.
Just the vibes.
And by the way,
I've found,
we've talked about this before. Remember when I shot one over at this same course and we did a whole podcast on the 5 things that led to that? Yeah. One of them was seeming like a coach. When I play with people that are very new at the game, I tend to invest more in their game and helping them if they ask, versus getting focused on me, getting me centric. So that was really valuable. That was another validator of how much that helps me when I'm focused on other people, conversation, stories, etc. Anyways, I started to hit like really good irons. I smoked my 4 iron down the middle. I was probably, I don't know, through 9 holes. I probably, what did I tell you? I shot like 3 or 4 over, maybe 4 over through 9 holes. And again, it's not about the score. It's just more about like my bad golf was so bad where I'm just not getting around the course. It's, you know, I'm losing a ball with an 8 iron, like that type of stuff, right? This was, I'm starting to hit it on the screws. I'm hitting greens.
Yep.
My driver's feeling good. My 3 wood's just off the green on a short par 4. Like, you know, I'm starting to like, I'm stringing together shot, good shot after good shot for the first time in a while. So this 9 holes was a little bit of a validator. I thought I had a light bulb moment, but the light stayed on, right? I was like, okay, I think I'm on the right track. Fast forward to the next week, I've got 2 rounds, which by the way, I'm nervous about. I'm not going to lie. I'm not trying to focus on that, but the nerves were there.
But and it's good that you've got to go play. I mean, again, great private clubs. Like, anybody wishes they could go play these courses. They're great opportunities, but like you don't get these invites. You might not, you may be playing less. And it's like, it's just like, it's kind of the perfect storm in your head, right? I want to play these courses. This is, you know, for work. It's going to be But at the same time, I don't know if I see a little progress on the parts free, but like,
yeah.
And just, man, imagine, I don't know. It's just, it's a lot going on in your head, but it's the challenge you need.
Right. And this is the normal ego coming into play, right? Imagine you work with a guy who's a great player, played his whole life, probably a 3 handicap, and you work in golf. So you talk golf all day, every day. This is the first time you guys are playing together. If there'd be a part of you, you want to prove that you can play. You don't want to come off like a fraud that this whole time we've been working on golf, I don't even know how to play, right? And here's the funny thing. I get to Rolling Hills, which is in the Palos Verdes, South LA. It's actually not that far from where Tiger was in his accident, okay? Oh, and this course was rebuilt by David McClay Kidd, the architect of the original Bandon Dunes course.
Yep.
I show up, we have lunch, and we go to the range. I hosel 4 7-irons.
On the range?
On the range. And Tom, the guy I work with, goes, hey, you know, I've never been playing this game for 4 decades. There's zero correlation. I know you know that. I go, I know that. No, there's zero correlation. No problem. And I realized I just was getting warm, right? Yeah. And I need to focus on my rhythm. And straight left arm seemed to be a really great key. I hit one really good 7-iron before I left. And the only thing I thought about was really straight left arm in that beginning the takeaway motion. So here I go. I go to the first tee. And all I'm focused on is rhythm and tempo and a straight left arm, right? And it's wet.
And trying to play golf too.
And it's, by the way, it's drenched. I didn't even think we were going to be able to play. It was like crazy storm the 3 days before that. So there's no roll. And I get up on the first tee and I just focus on rhythm, tempo, making a good swing. And I smoke it down the middle.
Love that.
And even when I was playing well, I never really did that. The first tee was always kind of a squirrely moment for me. So that was incredible. I'm not going to go through every hole, but I kept focusing on like swinging really light with rhythm, focusing on a straight left arm with my left shoulder kind of starting the motion. And the next 3 holes, it was like the caddy told me, hey, you're long enough. You can cut the corner on number 2, which is this par 5. Or no, a drivable 4. He goes, you can carry that bunker if you want on the left. And I'm like, normally I would have laid back because I'm like, that driver is way too erratic. But I was like, okay. Did the same thing. Hit it like 40 yards off the green, left side.
Well, that's great. And I think we're going to talk about caddies a little more in this episode. But it is that encouragement you need. I can relate to that, Ev. Like whenever I have a caddy, and especially if I'm playing at a golf course I don't know, and it's going to be a private club, they see like, oh, you got some game early. And then they encourage you to like, hey, you're kind of in, they see you in between.
I think
comps,
they turn
maybe
on a little bit too, because they're
we got a good player.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Like, yeah. You know, and then the day becomes a little more fun for them if they can be into it. And
he called me a good player. He's like, yeah, I get into it have a good player like you. And I was like, I haven't considered myself a good player in a very long time, which is interesting.
So think about this, Ev. On the range, you shank it 4 times, but you got some comedic support from your colleague, right? Mm-hmm. Cares about you, right? And then you have a great opening first hole, or great a couple swings, and you get this support, right, from the caddy. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, it's great. Right?
Yeah. So I make a couple pars to start.
Verbalization. We'll talk about that because you got to do that on your own without the caddies. But it's something else, right? To be encouraged to do something. He knows the course. He's seen guys cut this corner. He knows I can do it. So go do it. And you did it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I par the third hole.
Caddies out there, guys.
The third hole was the par 5 where you can cut the corner over these trees and cut off like a huge portion of the hole. I stood up there and I just tried to make the same rhythm motion and I smashed this drive in perfectly over the corner, over this tree that he asked me to. And and this is 3 holes in a row, and everybody's starting to be like, Jesus Christ, take it easy. And I was like, guys, I'm just as confused as you are. Like, this is wild stuff. And
they were having fun.
Okay. We're having fun. Basically, the first like 5 or 6 holes, I was hitting fairways and I was probably like 1 or 2 over through the first 5 or 6 holes. Now, then I started to realize I got away from what I was focused on. You know, you start off with swinging really soft and really, you know, like maybe 80%, but more focused on rhythm than anything. And then I started to feel it a little bit and I started to try and rip it. And that's when I would start lose. I lost 2-3 woods off the TOB. I snap hooked a 3-wood, which is
so
pretty uncommon.
You felt success, wanted more success.
Yeah, I think I got overly excited.
It was kind of coming to you a little bit.
Yeah, I got away from what got me there.
Yeah, then you wanted to, man, I can really amp this up. I can really, yeah. That's a trap.
Maybe I got it, right? And then I got away from what got me there. And at least I finished on some good drives. You know, in the middle of the round, I kind of faltered. I started making some silly mistakes.
But
the law of averages came back to me a little bit. But I was at least like...
You saw some confident swings on a big-time golf course.
Yes. And I was starting to feel encouraged. Right. And I was like, hey, even though I'm leaving today with an 88, which is like with 2 triples, I'm not happy about an 88. But again, this is about reps. This is not about my score. And on the holes that I was really focused on what I was doing, I actually played quite well, better than I have in a very long time. On holes that I got away from that, it got away from me. Okay, so that's great feedback.
At least you were able to draw those conclusions pretty quick.
Yeah.
Now
going into Lakeside, the magical day, the next day, I hadn't played 2 days in a row in a very long time. I haven't been on a golf trip in months. I haven't been playing as much golf because I've been learning and trying to groove things. So I'm not going to lie to you. I woke up with a red score on my Whoop for the first time in months. I was exhausted.
Guys, they're listening to these LA guys just complain about playing 2 days in a row in February.
During the week, yeah.
It's the best.
Yeah. And no, but I'm saying this to just see. I'm saying this to say I wasn't into it at all. If you would have asked me, I probably would have. Obviously, this sounds terrible to turn down around at Lakeside where all these celebrities belong and it's apparently a great track. I've never played there. If it was up to me, I wouldn't have played. I was like, I'm not really feeling it today. I'm tired. I'm stiff. But again, another challenge. I was like,
not like you're hungover though.
No. But I'm going there. I have build your own omelet in this old school locker room.
You love that. That is just it. Time to get me back.
Get me back. We're having fun conversation. And this place is like Lakeside has a different vibe to it. Lakeside, you know, those places that have celebrities, the bouncer or the people that run it, they got their shit together. Like they're making sure there's no one that's not welcome. That's close. They are on time. You're not messing up schedules of these people. So we go to the starter. He's like, you can hit 10 balls. You hit 10 balls and you walk right back to me and then you're on the tee.
Boom.
So it's just as, I'm not hosling anything, but it's not pretty, but it's getting warm. And we make the same joke, Tom and I, about there's no correlation. Let's get to the first tee, right? First hole isn't pretty. I think I double it. I'm just totally stiff and whatever. And then something crazy happens. I didn't even tell you this. I get to the second tee and Tom looks at me and he goes, all right, Ev, we're going to do a 5-5-5 Nassau, me and you. I'm a 4, you're a 9 right now. So I'm going to give you 5 shots. Okay. And I'm thinking,
you guys got a 1-hole warm up, you know?
I'm so thinking,
started on 2.
Nassau, fuck betting right now. Like, I don't even know, right? You've got the rebuilding new stuff. I don't know where the ball's going. I'm thinking of all those bad misses, but I say, no. Tom. Let's go. Yeah. He goes, he smiles at me. He goes, by the way, you're 1 down. Everybody in the group gets a real kick out of that. And everybody goes, all right, let's see how Evan responds to being 1 down. And the craziest thing happened. a little competitiveness came. We talked about this before. A little competitor came alive in me. I took that club back a little extra slow. I let it set. Gets focused on my rhythm. And I hit maybe a top three drive of my life. I'm talking a 1 yard draw, high, and just blasted. Okay.
The best
obliterated bit. It down the middle. Everybody starts going crazy. Don't ever tell Evan he's one down again. That's what everyone's saying, right?
Guy loves to hear it.
I start to get a little swagger. I go, Tom, not for long. Okay. Then
nice comeback.
Thanks. Then I walk to the middle of the fairway and I got Darren, this old school caddy who's the man. Okay. He starts pounding me. He goes, that's what I'm fucking talking about. He goes, the way this hole is set up, there's a big mound up on the right by this green. You can hit this 3-wood as hard as you want. You're about 260 out. Hit the 3-wood as hard as you want anywhere on the right side, and you're getting a big kick down left to the green. You like that? I go, Darren, I love it. Give me the 3-wood. And whatever I just felt on that driver, I think because I haven't hit a drive like that in so long, I wasn't like I'm back, but it's like I felt something and I was like, I can go with that again. So I do the same thing and I smash this 3-wood with a baby draw exactly at the spot that he tells me to, and it rolls 3 feet below the hole, and I make the eagle putt in the heart. And I look at Tom and I say, all square. And there we go. So,
well, I mean, that is your hole of the, certainly your best hole of the year, maybe your best hole in a very long time. Anybody, yeah. It'd be anybody's bet, like an eagle on a par five on the second hole.
And that's, by the way, not a short par five either. I hit one of the greatest drives of my life and one of the best 3-woods.
Yeah. So, I mean, if we stop there for a minute, Ev, I mean, play a match. Let's compete. No, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to embarrass myself. I don't want to lose money.
Right.
I don't want
to. Well, because if you've struggled as long as I have, it's painful enough to struggle. Losing money while also struggling can make it much worse. However, that shows that you're thinking of the wrong stuff. You're trying not to mess up.
If you're playing golf, competing in a foursome at a private club, you're playing a match. This is how it works. You're wasting your day if you're not.
Right.
And it's like, and also competing, that's how you get better anyways.
Right.
And it certainly helped your mindset shift.
Right.
So we have to brace this stuff. You know, obviously there's those days on the par three course we discussed. Great. Kind of practicing out there. But if you're teeing it up with your buddies or your friends or foursome, there always has to be a game, guys, because why are we playing?
Right.
Play for something. Get the juices flowing. Feel the nerves. Either succumb to the pressure or embrace the pressure, or maybe a little bit of both.
Now here's the best part about
good
this.
Good stuff.
Thank
but
you.
But he had to convince you on the second hole.
Yeah. And I wanted to text you right there, but I was like, no, we'll wait till after. So
maybe leave the phones in your bag at a place like that.
I did. Yeah. Anyways, I get to the next hole, par three. I got an 8-iron. And they're like, yeah, Eagle Man goes first. Because obviously we're playing ruddy golf, but the Eagle Man goes first. And this is the perfect distinction.
Yes.
Yeah. This is a perfect distinction of trying to change our rounds from good result, excited, bad result, frustrated, to good results because I competed and I focused on rhythm, to bad result. I got on the tee box and I tried to smoke this 8-iron instead of focusing on rhythm like I was before. And I didn't snap hook the 8-iron, but it's as snap hooky as you can get with an 8-iron. And it hit the trees. Luckily, it kicked right.
Yeah, what's up with you trying to smoke stuff?
Well, that's a big theme of today, of this round. Because after I did that,
because
Darren pulled me aside. And he said, I think I probably try and smoke it because I used to have I'm really making great progress away from this actually, but because
yeah,
of
it's something you got to work on. That's
no,
what
for sure. But
we're just
because
diving
of
in.
all my bad ball striking,
Yeah,
I think going after it took away some of the tentativeness, allegedly. So, anyways, Darren, my caddy, pulls me aside and he goes, "Hey, man, you just overswung there. Your normal swing, your stock swing, plenty. That's all we need today."
Right.
And the front nine wasn't crazy. I think I shot a 43 with an eagle. Okay.
But
doubles.
But 43 at this golf course.
Yeah. Not okay. Terrible. I'd be happy with that. Right.
Right. Right.
So come then
back
I get
with
to
40,
the
41.
Yeah.
Kind of where you need to be. So
right.
You probably like, all right. Yeah. That could have been better had the eagle, but
yeah.
Okay. Right.
And by the way, I want people to be very clear. I have confidence in where I'm heading, but this is all still very new for me. So there's a lot of these good shots. I don't technically know how I did it. I'm somewhat surprised at some of these good strikes. I don't fully know exactly what I did in my swing. I'm just like, swinging.
I think we've identified from what you're describing why the good shots are happening. You're breathing, you're focusing on rhythm, you've got one swing feel, right?
Yeah.
Left arm. You've got a caddy that's helping you with your target and how to play the golf ball.
Yeah.
And then when you have some success, and I've seen this with you in Arizona, the big drive, the big hole, you try to amp up.
Yeah.
So
the back nine.
So
here
let's
we
get
go.
to the let's get to the back nine.
So this is when I almost shot even par in the back. And everybody in the group was aware of it. I haven't been the guy that everyone's like encouraging and like.
When there's a little buzz on the course, there's a little humming.
Yeah,
there's a little talk.
It was pretty cool, but I just remember Darren being before every swing now would be like, "Hey man, all we need your regular swing, your stock swing is perfectly enough here."
Don't you love all we need, Ev? There's all we need.
Yeah.
Just give me
your stock swing here. And I'm like, okay. And I remember going into every swing, just focused on swinging light with rhythm, focused on, am I getting that left arm straight to start? And that's it.
All right, stay seated, keep that seatbelt fast, and the train's gonna make a quick stop. But first, I just wanted to say, I've been thinking a lot about, guys, what the whole purpose of this podcast, our social medias, everything that we do, what is really the purpose? Why does it exist? And it's genuinely to help frustrated golfers enjoy the game more and help you with enjoyment on the course and off the course. If we're going to do stuff that we say we love, be with the people we say we want to spend time with, and we're not enjoying it, what are we doing? What's the purpose? So that's the point, is to use golf as a way to help us enjoy the shit we like, right? Enjoy it more and maybe limit the frustration, decrease the frustration. So as a big part of that, YouTube is my new focus. Obviously, the podcast will always be a focus, number one. But YouTube, we're putting a lot into it, and I'm trying to help frustrated golfers enjoy the ride in new ways. So hop over to our YouTube channel, At The Par Train, youtube.com/@thepartrain. Give us a subscribe. Slide into the comments. Let us know what you want to see. And I want to create the happiest group of people on the planet that happen to play golf. That's the goal. So hop over to our YouTube channel. We'll see you over there. Let's get back to the show.
I just start stringing some shots together. I start hitting
some holes together.
Yes. I start hitting fairway after fairway. If I'm missing fairways, it's just off the fairway. I'm starting to hit some really good drives, which I can't say I've done that often in the last few years. I'm starting to hit greens. I'm getting up and down.
Your blood pressure is just so much lower getting to the greens too, right?
Oh yeah. Like I'm starting to get into and I'm not really thinking about it. I mean, this is what you hear in every explanation of this, right? I wasn't really thinking about it. I had no expectations for the day. I had a very simple key.
I'm
focused on
listening to my caddy.
Yeah, I'm listening to my caddy. I'm swinging light with rhythm. And then we get to 18. And 18.
So, and, that's, and you're one over at this
point. So I'm one over. And Darren's like,
what did you do on 17?
I parred.
Okay, you parred 17 to give yourself the chance.
Actually, did I three putt? I might have three putt 17. I was just off the green. I hit a beautiful 8-iron downhill, perfectly straight on an arrow.
Just tough putt.
And just a tough putt. I three putted.
Okay, so you bogey to go one over to 18.
Yeah. And Darren's like, hey, man, this is a short par four. You can birdie this. You can shoot even on the back. And then people in my group are like, hey, man, finish strong. Stay focused. And I was like, man, people are like invested in what I'm doing right now. This is new.
It's kind of fun.
It is fun. And this is the thing I'm most proud of the day. So I wasn't really aware of what I was doing. I made two birdies on the back. So a couple, I think I made three bogeys, two birdies, the rest pars, right? I wasn't really aware of where I was. Darren just asked. And I was like, fine, you can ask. I don't care. It doesn't mean anything. So we found out I'm one over on the back. I can shoot even par on the back. This is the first time I've walked into a tee shot with that result in mind. And Darren looks at me. He goes, hey, man, you know what I'm going to say? Your regular swing is perfect here.
That's all you need.
It would have been very easy to try and overswing on 18. Short par four. Someone tells you you need birdie to finish even par. All I did was do my normal light swing. And holy shit, man, I forgot the feeling of stepping into a, quote, pressure-packed moment. You focus on the productive thing and you smoke one down the middle. And I mean smoke one on a laser down the middle. And I was just like, everyone like patting my back. Darren's fist pump. Oh, Darren gets to my partner's ball. He's double bagging. So he went to the guy behind me first. And he goes, hey, Evan, let me request an Uber and then we'll go to your ball. Just, and I go, Darren's got jokes. He's talking to me how far away I am. So we're feeling good. And I'm just really proud of that. I ended up bogeying 18.
Well, what happened on the second?
I kind of fanned my gap wedge. I really had to go after a gap wedge. And in this new feel that I'm working on, wedges, I'm just not comfortable with them right now. I have to work on it more.
But you had to go after it?
I had to swing. It was kind of
after
between,
a gap wedge.
It was in between yardages.
You chose to go after.
Yeah, it was 120.
Chose to rip it.
I chose to rip the gap. I came out of it. It's wet. And I short-sided myself in a bunker. I just didn't get up and down out of the bunker. Good putt. Gave it a run, but hey. I didn't make it. Not upset about that. The drive.
Was like the drive early where you made eagle. I mean, these are that high draw that every golfer dreams about, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to feel freeing, Ev, right? This has got to feel, and to shoot 37.
Yeah.
Two over, shoot 80 at a great, tough golf course.
Yeah, after I realized I could have broken 80 with the bogey, that hurt a little bit more. I won the match. I won $5. I won.
Oh, high rollers over here. Yeah. But hey, but you won. It doesn't matter if it's $5 or it's $500. You're playing for something. It's all you need.
Right. I won the back and the total. So the fact that I want to make this very clear again. The fact that I went in with nerves, a lot of nerves, normal. The fact that I didn't feel good on the range, normal. The fact that I had a double on the first hole, normal. I was able to refocus and do things that I haven't done in a very long time. I think can remind every passenger listening that we're always just a thought or a process or a focus away from our best golf. But the fact that I have the confidence and the guidance, not necessarily the confidence over the ball yet, but the confidence in that I'm heading in the right direction. I've got a great coach. We're working on stuff. He's monitoring me. I'm really putting in the effort on the right stuff. And for me to have that type of nine holes 3 to 4 weeks into this thing is just a really gratifying thing. And hopefully it's not about me. Hopefully it inspires someone listening that this path could work for them too.
Well,
right?
Yeah. No, such a great round. I was so happy for you when you told me. I mean, it just, it's kind of the, again, breakthroughs, whatever you want to call it. It's just another part. It's just another part of the journey for you. But yeah. Let's not sugarcoat it. It was a really good round. And it's what,
by the way,
it's what you kind of needed. You just needed.
By the way, I didn't make this clear enough. Yes, it sounds amazing when I spent most of my time talking about the back nine. I also missed an 8-iron 40 yards right when I had a great drive and a great, and I ended up making double. I hooked that same 8-iron. I had some pretty horrific shots still.
Did you watch Jake Knipp yesterday in the final round of the Mexico Open?
No.
The first six holes, he was hitting pull hooks and blocks.
Really?
The leader after shooting 65.
Yeah.
Nervous. It was like bad. And he won. So it's like, you know, this is just happens, right?
Yeah,
just,
we should post about that.
Whether it's a swing flaw, whether it's your mind, whether it's the environment, it just happens. It's how you deal with it. Right.
And right.
You clearly learned how you dealt with it in a way that you probably haven't had been able to do in a long time. And then to hit these golf shots that you haven't hit in a long time.
Well, you know what else it tells me?
And you were converting enough on the greens. You made birdies. So it's like,
yeah, two birdies and an eagle.
This is it.
Right. You know what else it shows me? You know how we both have our least favorite shots? And how it's really easy to kind of wrap yourself around a narrative or a story.
And I always think about that.
It was so refreshing and exciting to hit good drives, which historically was my Achilles heel.
Oh, yeah.
That it, obviously that puts me in better positions to make better numbers. But it also, I think, nothing else mattered. So that tells you that right there for people out there, when you pick up on that stuff, that tells you what you value.
Right.
Right.
It's kind of like, oh, the rest is just gravy from here. Right. I'm hitting the driver again.
My God.
Yeah.
Like, I will never forget that drive on two and that eagle. Like there was a part of me that blacked out. I was
bottle
like,
it up.
I don't even know how I did that. You know, like I'm the same guy, but if the guy a year ago saw this guy last week, he would have been like, holy shit, what did he find in his swing?
Yeah.
You know, which is like, that is part of it. I am working on things, but I'm not necessarily confident. So the fact that you can find gradual confidence by just keep working on stuff that helps you, that you know, all I need to do, Josh, my coach, tells me this. You'll see it in the third lesson that launches this week on YouTube. All we want you to do is to be able to go to the course, know your thoughts, and say, this is all I have to do over the ball to be successful. You feel that before you walk into the shot.
Just like Darren McKenny.
And then you try and do it. And if you didn't do it, you try and do it on the next one.
So if we have to kind of, this is a chipping away episode. If we put a bow on this, chip away at the keys for Evan, shooting 80. This is what I hear. One, the range doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you're at Justin Timberlake's home course or your local muni.
And also Hogwarts was looking at me, which probably helped.
That's that.
I could see the Hogwarts castle up on the hill.
You love Harry. So the range, just get warm no matter what.
Yeah.
Might hit a shank, might hit a great, just get warm.
Yeah.
Two, the verbalization from the caddies these both days was really helping you.
Yeah.
You're not going to have a caddy, you know, next week at the public golf course. So are you going to focus hard on verbalization for yourself?
Yeah.
Like
100%. I think getting clear on vocalizing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Getting clear on what I need to do and reminding myself, I don't have to overswing. I think that's another thing.
Where I was going next, right?
Yes.
So stock yardage ties into rhythm. Center of the green.
Yeah.
That's the story all day.
Do you think there's a lot of golfers out there? I feel like I might be this way, that not swinging hard might not feel athletic.
Yeah,
Like,
sure.
Do you, if
For
you
sure.
come from other sports, do you think that's what makes it feel athletic? Is trying to rip it?
Right. But it's like we've talked about in the past. It's you want to attack it and swing aggressive to a fat part of the green, you
Right.
know, or, you know, at that tree branch 20 feet left over the bunker, as opposed to taking a little less cub, using that adrenaline in not a very productive way to swing hard to hit it close because I think I'm really good today.
Right.
So it's not about swinging soft. It may be take the 7 iron instead of the 8 iron, but boy, I might put it a touch back in my stance and just flight the hell out of this thing at the center of the green. It's a par 3, 25 feet's a great shot. Make par, I'm ahead of the field.
That makes me think of another moment I want to share that I think tells us a lot about maybe something that helps me. I hit a decent drive, but it kind of peeled off to the right. Like I said, it was kind of on this little downslope, a little under a tree. I told this story on another podcast, maybe last week's. And my caddy, Darren, goes, "Hey, man, I think if you put this back in your stance and you aim to the left part of the green and you try and flight it, I don't think you're going to hit that tree." And I said, "All right, I trust you. I think you're right." And I wasn't thinking about how I'm releasing it. I wasn't thinking about my motion of my swing. All I focused on was flighting this under the branch.
Well, your favorite term, being an athlete and hitting what the shot calls for.
And I hit a laser,
yeah,
mid-flight laser pitching wedge to a foot.
And totally unexpected.
Well, this is what I want everybody to remember. This is how these rounds always happen. I got hyper-focused on the shot at the hand. I wasn't upset about hitting in the tree because I knew it was a decent drive, just a little right. I got hyper-focused on the shot. I swung. I did my best effort with the swing. It was much better than I ever could expected. The percentages of actually hitting that shot has to be less than 5% for me, probably for most golfers.
You were aimed not at the pin, but it happened. And that's how a lot of times even happens for the pros.
And that's how sometimes birdies happen. That's how a round happens. That is what the game of golf is.
You were focused on hitting shots.
And I was reminded of that.
To a target.
Yes. I was reminded of that.
It's great stuff. These are the shots you bottle up.
So really, to recap, it's getting clear on the shot at hand, not being bogged down by technicality in the swing, right? Rhythm over technical, not over swinging, and focusing on the shot at hand.
And competing.
And I competed.
And having a game to play, something.
Yeah, and I competed.
You have to.
Even
get
though
the juices
I didn't
flowing.
Feel worthy of the game, even though I expected to lose, I know that sounds terrible, but when the game started, I was like, all right, fine. I'm not going to say no. So worst case, I pay him $15. Like, that's literally what went through my head. But when I stepped up to that drive, I actually said to myself, well, not necessarily, Ev. Let's compete. And I hit one of the best drives of my life.
If you're really focused on competing, you're focused on hitting golf shots, making smart decisions, thinking about my options, and you did a much better job of that.
Yeah. The fact that I did all of this at a private club with people that I'm playing with for the first time.
Some say monkey off the back.
I will say, because I've had people invite me here to play, and I'm not always, I haven't been playing. So sometimes I'll cancel a round, or I turn someone down, or I'll just be like, no, I'm just going to focus on practicing for now. I think this round gives me a reminder that I don't need to be scared of playing. I can just keep coming back to the same stuff and not overswing and find my way around just like I did at 100%. Lakeside, you know?
I think it's like, you don't need to be anybody for anybody.
Right.
And I think that's crept into you, but now it's like you have this playbook to lean into now.
Yeah.
And you had to take the risk, had to accept that round, go do it, and you did it. So, yeah, Adam, I mean, hats off.
Thank you.
Just keep playing, as Daly would say. Just keep playing.
I'm just going to keep playing. And I want everybody to know, if someone's listening, they're like, well, I don't know what my keys are. That's step one. So get a coach.
Yeah.
Even if it's one lesson a month, that's one round, extra round you pay for, or one round you don't play, right, and you use the lesson instead. Find a good coach and say, I'm in it for the long haul. I want to understand what I do, why I do it, what I do on good shots, and what do I do on poor ones, so that I can walk to the course and I know these are my keys.
So we just had this conversation with Zach Dengus, you know, 13 handicap. Got a coach. Don't be a lesson taker. Be invested in what you do and invest in somebody that can help you do it. So, yeah.
And ironically, I'm going to lesson four right after this.
Oh,
so
here we go.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot here, and I'm glad we covered it, because it's a little milestone for you of success.
Yeah.
And you're going to bottle this one up and use it to your advantage.
Totally. Anything we missed that we need to add in, or you think we're good?
No, I just think I'm interested to see the verbalization. I want to hear more about from you and how you're going to take it when you're out on the course, not with a caddy. I think it's big for you. And I think that's finding your mental keys.
Yeah.
So pretty exciting stuff. So always more to come with us. We'll probably revisit Ev here in 6 weeks, maybe for a part two, the year of 2024 and getting better and investing in coaching. So
totally.
All right.
All right. Well, if you guys like this episode, as always, give us a review at Apple Podcasts or Spotify. If you listen on Spotify, make sure you're following us on Spotify as well. And don't forget about our newsletter every Monday, a little mental nugget that'll help you stay on track no matter where the ball goes. And don't forget our YouTube channel at The Par Train. No matter where the ball goes, how uncomfortable you're feeling over the ball, no matter how your range session is, who you're playing with, where you're playing, what do they got to do, sir?
Just enjoy the ride.
Enjoy the ride, guys, and keep tracking. We're all going to track together. Let's have the best year of our golfing lives this year, shall we?
I say we shall.
Let's do it.
Thanks for hopping aboard, guys. Before you hop off the train, I think I got something you're going to love. Our new YouTube channel is growing fast. It's something I'm putting a lot of focus and time and my heart into. So if you guys like the podcast, our YouTube is going to come out with the video podcast of the audio version every Monday on our YouTube channel, as well as more and more videos to help you enjoy the ride and keep your game on track. So go to youtube.com/@thepartrain or just search The Par Train on the YouTubes, and hopefully we can keep riding this train together. Thanks again for hopping aboard. Hope you guys enjoyed the ride.